Our scripture reading for today is John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you'll bow with me, we'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, just come before you today. So grateful for this time that we're able to meet as fellow believers and worship you, Lord, to praise you, and to hear your word preached. Pray that our hearts and minds would be open to your word, and through the sermon that Pastor Boyd is bringing today, that we'd be uplifted, convicted, and that it would bring glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
As Matthew is walking up here, I realize I gave him the verse from last week. But either way, it's still the Word of God. It will not return void. So he could have picked any verse in the Scripture and read it in that sense. But it wasn't what we're talking about today, even though it's true what he read. So, but we are actually in Mark 4, going back to our verse-by-verse study in the Gospel of Mark. And just thankful that we can gather together this morning. And as we begin our service today, let's recite our memory verses that we've been learning over the last few weeks, a few months, I guess. So say them with me today. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Amen. We're back in Mark 4. Going to spend some time today on one parable, the parable of the lampstand. And in Mark's gospel here, we actually come to a portion in the chapter where there's three parables right in a row. And today we're going to just look at the first one there, which is the parable of the lampstand. And so our scripture today, verses 21 through 25, just follow along with me. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now Jesus is talking again here in parables, and just a reminder regarding parables. You know, parables are earthly stories that have a heavenly meaning, and they reveal truth to some people, and they conceal or they hide truth from others. And so remember that as we're going through this parable of the lampstand. Now if you grew up in church like I did, you probably heard this parable as a song before you ever realized it was a parable. Because growing up, we used to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, the song, which you got the lyrics up there, this is about that parable. And Worth, I think, really wanted me to sing it today, but I was like, you know what, I don't want that to be what they remember after Sunday's over. And so I'm not going to do that for you. But most of you have heard this song as a kid, but this is a song about that parable, about the light and it shining and not hiding it, which we just read here in Mark 4. And so Jesus is talking about a lamp or a light that is being hidden. And the first truth is that Jesus, he really just asked a very practical question about light. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? Now remember, parables are also stories about earthly things that are pretty common that everyone knows about. Even uneducated people back in Jesus' day would know what a lamp was for. So this isn't for people who have to be really smart to figure out. These are just common everyday things that are included in parables. And so everyone who can physically hear can understand that he's talking about a lamp like a candle. And so Jesus says, when you light this lamp or this candle, you don't light it and then put a basket over it. You don't light it and then like hide it up under your bed. He's asking a very practical but obvious question here. You would take the lamp or the candle and you would display it. You would want it, off the ground. You would want it where everyone could benefit from the light that it's giving out. Now back then, we all know obviously they did not have electricity, but what was common in those days were oil lamps. And so still people will use lamps that have oil in them. We often will call them lanterns. But we can still use those today. In fact, when the power goes out, some of you probably pull these out. Or if you go camping, you would use something like this where no electricity is required. And so, but Jesus is talking about oil lamps. And he's talking about, when you light these, you don't go and stick them under something. You put them up on a table or something where they can be seen. And if you even have a lamp stand, which we realize he's talking about here in Scriptures, that you can place it on. And so he's talking about this. Now, this isn't the only time that we see oil lamps mentioned in the New Testament. In Matthew 25, we also read about oil lamps. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps, talking about the oil lamps, and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, which we know it's not going to burn or even light if there's no oil in it. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. So we have another illustration of oil lamps, which was common. Everybody had them back in those days. So Jesus asked a question about these lamps. When you light them, you don't light them to hide them. You don't light them to put a basket over them or to put them under a bed. You light them, and children, answer me this. When you light a candle, you light a candle to get rid of what in the room? Darkness. You're trying to get rid of the dark. That's what Jesus is talking about here. When you light an oil lamp or you light a lantern or you light a candle, you light it to get rid of the darkness. And so that's what he's speaking about here. So what we need to see here with our spiritual eyes, Jesus is really talking about himself here. I want us to understand this. Jesus is talking about himself in this parable. He has come to get rid of sin and darkness, which is found in the hearts of mankind. John 3 tells us, and this is the judgment. The light is coming to the world, and people love the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. So who is the light that has come and been brought into the world? It's Jesus himself. Jesus also reminds us of how ridiculous it would be to bring a lamp into the house, light it, and then hide it where you could not see the light that it's giving off. So it is with Jesus. He is not to be hidden. He is to be exalted and lifted up for all to see. Now, one more thing here in this verse. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? So this light is visible and it's to be displayed in this verse here on a stand. You want it lifted up so it can penetrate the most darkness. So you put it on a stand. Well, in that case, what's the stand? The stand is us, the church. The stand here is us, the church. We elevate Christ. We lift him up. In Revelation 1, it says, as for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. We see another correlation here between the lampstand being that which the light is upon, which elevates the light of Christ. So the church, as a church, we are to exalt Christ, who is our light, so that all may see. And because Christ is in us as believers, the Holy Spirit of God, we shine as light for others to see that light, to see Christ. Again, this parable goes deep on a few levels here. In Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, which we just talked about, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to also shine as light. He says, you are the light of the world. And to be clear here, we are not the light of the world because we have produced something, because we have done something. Instead, it's because we reflect Christ. Just like the moon is bright at night, it's not because the moon has any light in it. The moon is just a reflection of the sun. And so we as believers, we reflect Christ. We shine not because there's anything in us worthy of shining, but because of Christ who is in us. We're only bright in that sense because of Christ. And so we see that here in the Scriptures. And the truth here is that the light is not to be hidden. We are not to in any way hide the light of Christ. Just the opposite. It's to be on full display. You know, it should be obvious to everyone that we are followers of Jesus Christ. It should be obvious to everyone that you encounter that you are a follower of Christ. Those people that are in your extended family, those people that you work with, those people who are your neighbors, who encounter you on a regular basis, those people should know that you're a believer, a follower of Christ. But do they? Do they? I mean, think about this concerning your own life. If you were to tell others that you're a follower of Christ, would they be shocked? Would they be surprised? Would they go like, oh, I had no idea? I mean, think about that. If they said that, that they had no idea, that would be a poor testimony. A friend of mine I grew up with, his father died, and at his funeral, someone got up and said, now listen, I know most of you don't know this, but so-and-so was a Christian. Well, just the fact that you got to tell someone who for the last 40 years has not followed Christ, I didn't know if you know this, but he's a Christian. Well, obviously he wasn't. Nobody knew that. You can't live that way and be a Christ follower. And so what we see here is that the church of Jesus Christ is to have the light of Christ on full display to get rid of the darkness. Now look at verse 22. We learn here that Jesus speaks of the power of light. Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Now the Son of God, who knows all things, is reminding us of how powerful light is. What it's capable of, spiritually speaking here. What light does is it exposes that which is in darkness. If you can't see something in a room because it's dark, when you flip on the light, now you can see that thing that was once hidden by the darkness. And so it's like a secret that has been spilled. Now everyone knows. And so that's what light does. Light chases away the darkness, and now things that were once hidden can be seen. That makes sense physically. I want to make sure we understand that spiritually. It's a simple truth in the physical sense, but for us as believers, we need to see the spiritual meaning here as well. Nothing can be hidden from Christ. He is our light. There is no darkness in Him at all. And the light of Christ, what the light of Christ does is so powerful. It reveals our sin. It reveals our motives. It exposes everything. Christ exposes the deepest parts of our heart and completely sees us before Him, totally stripped away of everything. Now, obviously from one another, even from people in your family, even your spouse, you can hide your thoughts and your motives. I mean, you can cover your heart and your desires pretty well. We can get good at that, even from those people who are close to us. But nothing is hidden from Christ. Everything is exposed before Him. We see in Hebrews 4, He says, no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You know, sometimes we think of some of the most evil, wicked people in the world, and we think, wow, they seem to be getting away with it. No, there's coming a time they will be completely exposed before God Himself. 1 Corinthians, we read, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord, from God. Now, Paul reminds the Corinthians here that God's going to bring everything to light, those things that are hidden in the darkness right now. Now, here's the thing. We may know that truth up here. Even as believers, we're like, well, yeah, we know that. But we often fail to believe the fact that no one's going to get away with their sin. We think that, you know, some people have gotten away with stuff. But or maybe you think you've gotten away with it in a sense. But here's the thing. Everything is exposed before God. No one is able to hide their sin. I mean, they may think they are for a little while, but they're not. God knows everything. And the light of Christ will expose that. You see, light penetrates. Here's the understanding in a physical sense. Light penetrates darkness, but darkness does not penetrate light. You can't bring in more darkness. You can't. Darkness is just the absence of light. You know, if you take a room and make it as dark as you can, just one little candle overpowers all the darkness. If you were to go out in space and try to find a dark corner and you light a candle, you can see it, no matter how much darkness there is. And here's the thing, the darker the room, the more you see the candle. It exposes it. It reveals the darkness. Cast it out. More darkness does not lessen the candle. In fact, the candle is seen the darker it is. And the light of Christ has penetrated our darkened hearts and exposed our sin. Now, we had no idea how dark it was until light was shown. The light of Christ was shown into our hearts. That's the power of the light of Christ to the human heart. His light exposes our sin, and because of Jesus, we can be saved because He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So consider this truth today. The light of Christ reveals to us the glory of Christ, but it also exposes the darkness of our heart. It's like you get a twofold result from the light of Christ. We see the glory of Christ because He is light, but we also see the darkness exposed in our heart. It's pulled back because of the light of Christ. Nothing can escape Him. Therefore, here's the thing. It is better for you to expose and confess your own sin. And even to other people, the Scripture says, to confess your sins one to another. It's better to do that than to try to keep hiding them. Because first of all, you can't hide them. They will be exposed in some way. But the good news is that when you humble yourself and you're honest before the Lord and you confess your sin, it brings forgiveness to the believer, not judgment. And God is quick to forgive. He says if we confess our sins, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves if we say that. And the truth is not in us. But here's the good news. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Better for you to humble yourself before the Lord than for Him to do it for you. Over and over in the Scriptures, we have examples of those in the Scriptures who tried to conceal, or tried to hide their sin, and the Lord brought it to the front. Achan, Ananias, and Sapphira, even King David. So what makes us think that we will be exempt if we try to live with unconfessed sin? If we think we can hide in the darkness while the light of Christ is right there. The Bible says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot run from God. In your darkness, you cannot hide from the light. So run to Jesus, the light of Christ, and receive forgiveness. God is gracious, and as a child of God, you can experience freedom and love from the same God who laid down His life for you. Confess your sins to Him today. And verse 23 seems to be a just like, please do this. Understand. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So He's calling for us to hear and to respond to the truth. Jesus is saying, are you listening? Are you obeying? Are you hearing what I am saying? Will you come to the light? Christian, will you be a light to others? Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not a cliche. It's a call to respond. You who are sitting here today, every single one of you in here today, are now responsible for what you have heard. Think about that. You're responsible for what you have heard. But here's the thing. Too often we hear truth and we believe it, but then we become casual with what we have heard. And as if it doesn't really matter if we take the truth we've heard and do anything with it. It doesn't matter if we really obey or not. As if some reason this part doesn't apply to us. But if God has given you light, you are to walk in that light. He says, if we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say, oh, I'm walking with the Lord, but you're actually walking in darkness, you're just lying. Your heart is lying. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, here's the thing. God is calling us to action. He's calling us to confession, to repentance, as we walk in the light of Christ. We cannot walk in darkness and say that we are walking in Christ. You can't do that. You just can't. But the promise here is that if we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, then we have this double blessing. We got a twofold blessing. We have fellowship with one another, and we have that cleansing effect of forgiveness of sin. What a great promise from the God who desires to forgive us. We get a double blessing here. A double blessing when you confess your sin, when you respond to the light of Christ. You get a double blessing. Fellowship with one another, and you have the forgiveness of sin. A double blessing. Here's the last two verses of our text today. And He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Which sounds weird. That doesn't seem to make sense on a human level. But Jesus here is revealing the principle of responsibility. Now these two verses that I just read are both promising and scary. They're both. Think about what Jesus is saying here. He's given us a principle, a truth about what we are to do with the light that we have. The light and the truth that we have received. And there seems to be no middle ground here. There's no neutrality here. On one hand, if you do not respond to the truth, what truth you do know will be taken away from you as time goes on. But if you respond and seek out the truth and obey what has already been given to you, what you've already encountered, then more and more truth will be revealed to you. It's like progression in either direction depending on what you do with what you already have. Now, I want us to understand this. It's real important. You see, here in your search, every single one of us, in your search for truth, you will always find with Jesus more than you expect to find. Because more, He says, will be given to you as you seek Me out. But if you have no desire for the things of God, if you're already in your mind going, even if it's true, I'm not going to do this. And some of us have been there. We see the Word and we're like, yeah, but I'm not doing that. I'm not believing that. And then what happens is what little truth you have will be taken away. God will give you what you want in that sense. If you have no desire for the things of God, like His Word, it will become a boring, dull book to you. See, God's not going to continue to reveal truth to you when you don't respond and obey what little truth you already have. We see that principle over and over in the Scripture. Now, I've seen this displayed in the life of people that I've known throughout my life on both sides. I've seen those who reject what little truth they have been given about the Lord and about His Word and His truth. And what happens is they reject it, and over time, they become more and more unwise, more and more foolish, more and more lacking in understanding because they're rejecting what little truth they already have. On the other hand, I have seen people who initially, when they began early on, they didn't know everything, but they continued to seek the Lord. They knew very little about the things of God, but they embraced what they learned and continued to walk in faith with what little truth they have. And what happened is years and years, they continue to grow in their understanding of God's truth. For those walking away from God's truth, they find what they're looking for. They find less light and less truth. But for those walking in faith and in obedience to the truth that they have, they find not only what they're looking for, they find even more truth, more wisdom, more enlightenment, more teaching from the Word of God. That's why I've said before, and we all know this, some of you who have a desire to grow from the Lord, you're learning things from passages you have read 20 or 30 times in your lifetime, and you're still learning from that. You'll read it, and you're like, I never saw this before. See, the Scripture is true, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is really a heavenly principle in God's economy. This is how the kingdom works. With the parable of the talents, which we read in Matthew 25, the master, what did he do with the guy who didn't do anything with his talents? He took them and gave them to the one who had even more. That's the same principle. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward and, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter no seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." So the guy with one talent didn't do anything with it. But there was a guy with a lot of talents who did a lot with what he had. Remember, as you seek the Lord, he's always going to give you more than you expect. But his master said, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. At least make a little bit with what you have." So he says, take the talent from the one, from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Take the one talent from the one who only has one and give it to the guy who has 10, because he's done something with his, with the truth that he has. He says, "For to everyone who has will more be given." That's so key. To everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. See, when you seek after the Lord, you're always going to get more than you expect. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But when you start to walk away from the Lord and you turn from him, and you don't respond to the truth you've been given, you're going to walk away with even less, and it's going to continue to progress that way. See, this is a principle of God's Word. That's why Jesus spoke so often in parables, because these things are true. If you search, you will find truth that you could have never found otherwise, and you'll get more than you expected when you are searching the things of God. But if you do not search, if you do not seek the truth, if you do not respond to the truth you have, you will find that you will lose even the truth you once believed. It's a biblical pattern that we see in the Scriptures. So what does that mean for us today? Well, there's two groups of people sitting in this room. And by two groups, I mean the two groups that Jesus is speaking of. We've fallen into one of these this morning. Some of you are truly growing in Christ. You seek the things of the Lord. Even the hard things that you wrestle with, you wrestle with them with the perspective, "I want to believe, I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. This is hard." And then you got other groups that are like, "That's too hard, that's too crazy, that's too far out there. I'll just stick to what I know." See, one's a receiving, even though they wrestle with it, and another's a rejection, even if it's the same truth. But here's the thing. Some of you desire to grow in the Lord, and then there's some who continue to slowly turn away from what little truth you have. You're not growing in the truth that you have. Now, to be clear, I don't know which group any of you are in. You can fool me, you can fool your family, but all of us are in one of these two groups. There are those who are growing in truth, and those who are rejecting truth. There's no middle ground here. We do not see that in the Scriptures. Jesus doesn't even imply that that's a possibility here. So for us, it's eternally important that we are growing in truth. And here's what that can look like. I want to put a little skin on this illustration here, what Jesus is talking about. Maybe we can more easily identify it in our own life. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I'm just going to make this an example of what we see here in the Scriptures. Let's say you're sitting here Sunday after Sunday. And let's say one Sunday that I preach about generosity and I preach about giving. Being generous to the local church, being generous to those in need, caring for people. And you hear that sermon about being generous and about giving, and we look at the Scripture and see what God says about it. So you have two options here. Once you have received the truth, you receive it and obey what you have been given and what has been revealed to you, and you respond by being generous. Or you find excuses to do something else. And by excuses, I mean that's true that we should be giving and generous, but you know, I don't make a lot of money, so I'll just do that later. Or, well, I'm just a teenager. I mean, giving and being generous is for people who have full-time jobs. I just make $20 a week babysitting, so that doesn't apply to me. You see the excuses, how they kind of come to the surface when you've been given some truth just about something as simple as giving and being generous. Or we can respond with faith and say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord and give this week. even though I know it's going to make things a little tighter in the family budget. Or I'm going to ask the Lord to lay someone on my heart who's in need that I can be generous to. And I'm going to follow through with this because I want to grow in the Lord. I want to grow in more truth. So I'm going to respond to this very basic teaching of Scripture. And I'm going to walk by faith, even though it may make things a little tighter for us financially. I'm going to experience this and grow in the Lord. I'm going to respond. So we take something as simple as giving and being generous, which the Bible clearly teaches. And then what you do with that truth will either snowball in one or two directions. You'll continue to grow and walk by faith and obedience and even grow in more understanding of the Lord. Or you'll walk away and you'll miss tons of blessings and opportunities because you've got all these excuses in your mind about why you're exempt somehow from this teaching. So there's two ways to respond just with being generous with your money. That's just one area of the Christian life. And we know the Bible speaks about many, 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 many areas of our Christian living that God reveals to us. But what we do with that will affect how we grow in Christ. See, nothing God reveals to us through His Word and His Spirit is useless or neutral. Hear me on this one. God doesn't say something just... It's not like you're in high school writing an essay, you need 400 words, and you're just thinking of any adjective you can to meet the 400-word mark. God's not filled His Word with things just like, I got to put something here. No, there's nothing neutral or useless in the Scriptures. God is always seeking to grow us if we are seeking Him. He doesn't waste anything on you. But on the other hand, He will withhold truth from you if you do not obey by faith what He's already shown you. You'll miss out on future blessings and future understanding and future growth if you reject what little truth you have right now. Does this make sense? You see, all of us, here's the thing, all of us are going to be challenged this week in some way in walking in obedience with the truth that we have heard and the truth that we read from the Scripture. What the Holy Spirit reveals to us, what we read in the Bible, what you hear from the pulpit, and what you do with that truth points you in a direction. You're either going to receive more truth, you're going to get more than you expect from God as you pursue Him, or you're going to receive less truth because you have refused to act upon what truth you have been given. You see, here's the thing. God unveils to us His wisdom little by little over time. We don't get saved and go, hey, I just got saved yesterday. Well, you know what? All of a sudden I know everything. I got all the wisdom I need for the rest of my life. I'm good. That doesn't happen. We have a lifetime of learning and growing. The Bible word for that is we're being sanctified. But it's a lifetime until we meet Jesus face to face. But some of you will sit here, you'll sit under biblical preaching, you'll even read the Bible, but you still won't take the truth you've been given and act upon it in faith. You still won't. You'll do your outward duty and you'll show up for church and you'll read your Bible and you'll check the box. But as far as what you're learning, your life's not changing. You're just going through the motions. You're not acting in faith and obedience. And the result is you're not growing in your faith. You'll miss future opportunities of growth because you're not doing anything with what you already have. But don't miss out on what God is showing you in His Word, what He's revealing to you. That area of your life that you're still holding back on because you're afraid that if you trust God with that, man, it's going to turn your world upside down. I challenge you to let go of that and follow Christ. Trust Him and live by faith. And that area of obedience in your life that God's been convicting you about, that you just aren't following through on, but you know you should, do that this week. Do it today. Follow Him. Don't miss out on what God wants to show you and teach you. But if you keep saying no to what God has already shown you, He's not going to show you even more. Now, this doesn't mean that you actually say, no, God. You don't say it out loud. But what you do is you respond in disobedience. You don't have to say a word. Your lack of obedience speaks for you. It's evident by your actions. You see, the Christian life is a walk. It's a step-by-step growing and trusting in Christ. And some of you, you've been sitting under biblical teaching, and some of you have grown up in a Christian home where the truth is taught, and yet you're still pretty stagnant in your faith. Because you haven't followed through on what God has already shown you. Young people especially, listen to me for just a second. Young people, do not become a middle-aged adult 20 or 30 years from now and not be any more mature in the faith than you are right now. Don't waste those decades. Don't waste those years. Start today being a wholehearted follower of Jesus and what He has revealed to you, what He has shown you. Step out in faith and be radical. Be a little crazy in your obedience. God, I'm going to do whatever Your Word says. Then you'll experience the most rewarding life ever, which God promises. He's going to give you more and more and more. Because the truth is, if He showed you everything and what He has planned for you, it'd probably scare you to death. So He gives it to you in bite-sized pieces. You grow little by little by little over time, but you've got to start with the truth that you have right now. He'll show even more of Himself to you as you commit your life to Him. For to the one who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. From these scriptures, we learn that those who listen and respond by faith receive more and more understanding from God. Don't you want that to be you? The truth is available to us, but we must seek it and then by faith obey what God has shown us. Let's be that kind of church today that receives the truth of the Word and then lives by faith according to what we have heard and what we have read. Then we will see incredible spiritual growth as God reveals more and more to us time over time over time. And we will be given much. He promises. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. And I'm so thankful that the principles of God, the principles that we read about in heaven's economy is so backwards from the world. Lord, You continue to those who have much and continue to pursue You, You give even more. But even to those who have little, if they reject what little they have, You take it and give it to those who are pursuing You. Lord, I pray that we do not waste the truth that we have, Lord, that we will respond even to the smallest acts of obedience that You are calling us to do. Lord, for those someone in here today who's wrestling with some truth in Scripture that they know they should submit to, because they know You are right, but they just don't like the way it feels, or they feel they're going to waste their life if they do this. Lord, I pray that by faith they would just step out and trust You and follow You, and Lord, that they would grow in more and more truth as You continue to show them more. We never walk away from You, Lord, disappointed. You always give us more than we are expecting. And so, Father, I pray for those maybe who over the last few years have just kind of gone through the motions and haven't really grown any. Lord, that the truth that they do have, they say, Lord, I'll commit to what I do know right now and follow You. So, Lord, continue to work in our life. Lord, continue to show us as we grow. May we be the ones that the Bible speaks of, the hundredfold fruit. May we be the ones who, Lord, grow more and more with the talents that we have. May we be the ones who, over time, Lord, day after day, week after week, year after year, even decade after decade, continue to grow in the faith because You always give us a little more as we pursue You. Thank You for that promise. Thank You for that hope. Jesus, continue to work in our life. Lord, I just ask that we would do what You tell us to do. Live by faith, completely trusting You. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.